Now on Money News, Roger Montgomery, talking trade. Thanks to The Buzz Insurance. For quicker, easier car insurance quotes, thebuzzinsurance.com.au.
And Roger Montgomery from rogermontgomery.com joins me in the studio now. Hello, Roger.
How are you, Ross?
I'm very well, thank you.
Excellent. Now, you're doing better than most shareholders at the moment, I suspect.
Well, most shareholders are going backwards at the moment.
That's
right. At a very fast rate. Mm. Now, one thing I meant to say at the start of the program, it was quite interesting this because it's important as well, is that Goldman Sachs has put a sellout on many big commodity companies. This is one of the reasons why the Australian stock market's well down, to have the biggest broker in the world coming out with that type of a recommendation. Of course, we'll set the cat amongst the hares, or the fox amongst the hares, if you like. So it's a fascinating thing.
Yeah, look, the reality is, though, we talk about long-term investing here. This presents an opportunity. This isn't something to be afraid of. This is an opportunity. And I've always said that risk isn't a falling share market. A falling share market actually is an opportunity.
But you've just got to make sure you identify the companies.
That's right, which is what we talk about here every week.
The other thing also is the Australian Securities Exchange, the stock exchange if you like, has come out with new research showing that about 7.3 million Australian adults own shares at the end of 2010.
So 7.3 million people are unhappy today. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, their mood will swing, obviously, with all of that. Well, you own shares. You own lots of shares.
I do.
Are you happy today?
I'm absolutely. I buy shares like I buy groceries. So if the cheaper they are, the happier I am.
There you go. You see, that's the attitude you should have. The woman who's done that survey, the manager of research and analysis for the ASX, is Sandra Boyd-Hoare, who joins us now on the line. Hello, Sandra. You're talking to me and also to Roger Montgomery. How are you?
Hi, Sandra.
Hi, Ross. Hi, Roger. How are you?
I'm very well, very well.
So here's the point about this. You say it has actually grown. The number of people who own shares now has grown, which is a good thing, you'd have to say. Do you think that's because more people now are taking responsibility and managing their own superannuation funds?
I think that's part of it. I mean, we can see the share. Our study says that about 13% of Australian adults now have self-managed super funds, and it's increasing. But I think possibly the GFC and the implications of that on people's portfolios have made them a bit more focused on managing their own portfolios and not just leaving it to chance. I mean, one of the things that we found is of those who do invest, there's a much smaller percentage of investors that are prepared to just delegate to somebody else, like an advisor, and hope for the best. But I think the GFC kind of crystallised their thinking and made them realise they needed to learn a lot more, to build their own knowledge and to more actively manage their portfolio.
Sandra, Roger Montgomery here.
Hi, Roger.
I'm really interested in, I look at this report every time it comes out and I'm fascinated by the numbers. Off the top of your head, can you tell us the number of investors in Australia who own more than one or two or three shares? Because that number's usually reported, isn't it?
It is. I mean, we kind of say, and the number of trades, I mean, we report that the number of trades on average, but I guess that the point that when we look at it within segments of the market. I mean, there's what we call the agile investor segment.
How many are in the agile investor segment?
About 23%, I think, of investors that we're 27%, I think, this time.
I know, but this is the stuff that's really...
So in other words, 27% of 43%, which is about just a little over a quarter. So we're talking really about 12% of the population, or maybe 11% of the population, something of that nature, are actually
active, engaged investors.
Is that about right?
Yes.
That must be going up. That sounds
it. Also, I mean, there's another group that we're now calling the prudent investor. Now, the interesting thing about them, and we did think about what to call them, but because they tend to be older Australians, people that have had their portfolios fairly savaged a couple of years back, and they've become fairly conservative and risk-averse about how they play the market. But they're actually quite smart and savvy. They know what they're doing, but they're taking probably a more conservative approach in the short term because their focus is on rebuilding portfolios.
So is a part of the ASX's work here in trying to do this survey, not only obviously to show the influence of the ASX and its and what happens in our community, but the second point also would be to try and get more people in that agile investor category, because the more people who are confident, and I kind of guess that's what they are, they're confident investors, regardless of whether they're winning or losing, they're prepared to actually wear the losses and take the wins as well. That's what you really want in Australia, is more of those people.
Well, I guess, you know, that there are other groups as well that are still have their training wheels on and they're learning and they're keen and they do want to learn more. So we're not necessarily saying that, you know, that they need to fast track and become really active share owners, because I think probably our view would be that you really need to know what you're doing, and that you need to educate and take advantage of all the resources and the expertise that's available. But so I wouldn't necessarily say we're trying to make them all agile, because you know, we're trying to educate would probably be, you know, part of the goal. And the study, I mean, I guess the study's point of view is really just trying to measure where shareholders are at and work out whether or not we need to take different approaches. And I think we've been doing the study since about 1991. So
it's been fascinating, Sandra.
I can remember the first one coming out, actually.
I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, because, of course, the privatisation's actually pushed it up, like Telstra, Commonwealth Bank, Qantas.
Yeah. Sandra, I've got a question for you.
Some other people today saying, how come it's not as high as it was? And I mean, I think that's the reason that you know, a lot of people entered the share market probably in a more passive way, and it didn't necessarily suit them, and they're doing other things now. They've sold, you know, reduced debt, et cetera. But, you know, those that are active in the market now, they're not all the same. They're quite distinct segments of the market, and I think they've probably got quite different needs.
And Sandra, you are representing the stock exchange. Apart from people coming to Ross Greenwood's show to learn about shares, where would the ASX be telling people to go to learn about the share market?
The ASX runs its own education programs, as I think you know, and you know,
I wrote some of them.
Yes, you did. I know that name. And I don't think that we certainly, I think increasingly, are probably working with different brokers who want to run programs for their client base. But I don't think we're specifically directing them anywhere. But, you know.
But come to the ASX.
Well, I think the ASX website.
You've got some online.
Online
material there.
Says that there's a lot of interest in the ASX website is a natural starting point for a lot of people, and you know, there are a lot of excellent tools and things like the share market game that maybe people don't.
That's the one for the kids that goes through. That's been running for years and years.
There's an adult one as well.
An adult one, which, you know, is often an interesting starting point for people. And we did some research with people doing the share market game a little while ago, and it was surprising how many people do it 3, 4, 5 times
because
they see it as a, you know, it is a great learning experience without the risk.
Oh, brilliant. Sandra Boyd-Hoare, of course, is the Manager of Research and Analysis at the ASX. That survey out today showing 7.3 million Australian adults own shares at the end of 2010. Are you one of those? We're going to take a break here on Money News. Come back with more of Money News. 131-873 is our number. If you want to speak with Roger Montgomery and myself, give us a call right now.
You're listening to Money News with Ross Greenwood on 2GB. Thanks to Ron Bennett Menswear. Dressing well is simply good business. Suit up now at Ron Bennett.
Yes, welcome back to Money News. A few other little bits and pieces happened today just in the stock market, and that is the Fairfax shares, of course. They fell 9%, profit warning coming out. You at all surprised about that?
No surprise. We've talked about that.
No
surprise.
And really, look, Greg Hywood's probably got to have that profit warning and really clear the decks to a certain extent.
Yeah, well,
so
look,
we can actually start to build the paper.
Ross, the issue is that you've got a business that's generating a lower return on the money it's got than what you can get in a bank account. And that means the auditors really need to get in there and they need to sort out the goodwill. There's $2 or $3 billion of goodwill that needs to be written down.
Can I say another thing also? This has been coming for a little while. Wayne Swan, the treasurer, today announced that he had nominated Rod Sims, who is currently the boss of IPART, which is the energy price regulator in New South Wales. Terrific businessman and a man with great skills. I'd wondered who'd replace Graham Samuel. Well, Rod Sims from IPART is going to be the next chairman of the ACCC, and Greg Medcalf is going to be the next chairman of ASIC. That's going to be an interesting thing. Now, with ASIC, of course, they've got new rules in regards to prospectuses, which is the documents
them.
That companies put out when they want to raise cash.
Yeah, I've got a real issue with prospectuses. I've had a real issue for a very long time with them because what they've turned into is this classic boilerplate of information that's just befuddling investors. Nobody goes past page 5 or page 6. And of course, Maya, for example, the first 28 pages were scantily clad women. There was nothing in there about the company. And so what we've got is a situation where it doesn't make any sense.
And Roger, your problem was?
Oh, no, I had no problem with it.
I understand your problem.
Let me give you a very quick example. There was a company called Cool or Cozy that listed some years ago, and it said the purpose of the issue, and I'll quote, the proceeds from the offer will be used by the company to help fund the further expansion of the business based on the strategies the company has developed. And then when you actually looked at the balance sheet, the way I look at the balance sheet, they were going to list, they were raising $1.7 million, $200,000 was going to the brokers, they only had $1.5 million, they were paying themselves a $2 million dividend.
And this is a problem because they're not clear enough. There's not enough information in there that a person can digest easily. And ultimately, the lawyers have got involved. They've become ass-covering exercises because the lawyers basically try and cover every base.
And in this example, the company was going to list with less cash than it started with.
Roger Montgomery, it is always a pleasure, and it's good to see you get off the fence and have a crack. Things do need to change in that space as well.